Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on how to receive God's best was recorded at our 2011 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
And then when God gave him his seed, Isaac, and in the 22nd chapter, he went to offer Isaac. God said, you know, offer Isaac as a sacrifice unto me. And Abraham was willing to do it. He actually lifted the knife and God stopped him. An angel stopped him and there was a ram caught by his horns in the thicket. And God gave him that as a sacrifice. And then the Lord told him, he says, you know, from this time forth, now I know that, man, you love me, you honor me, and you didn't hold anything back from me. And in blessing, I will bless you. You know, that's wordy to us and it doesn't mean anything. But God says, man, there is no end to the positive things I'm going to say over you. And God started blessing him and blessing his seed. And then in the 27th chapter of the book of Genesis, his grandchildren, Isaac's children, were born and they were twins. And in the womb, there was this conflict going on between these two kids. They were fighting even in the mother's womb. And so Rebecca prayed and asked the Lord, what's going on? And the Lord told her, says, there's two nations in you. And the elder is going to serve the younger. He passed the blessing on in Galatians chapter 4. It says that this was a symbol and type of how it's not by your human effort. It's the grace of God that causes everything to happen. And he was illustrating that through these two children. And so he made Esau, the older, servant to the younger. And Rebekah believed him. And she always honored Jacob. But Isaac actually liked Esau better and tried to pass the birthright on to him and the blessing of Abraham on to Esau. So the 27th chapter of the book of Genesis is where Isaac, he was old. He was about 110 years old. He actually lived to be 140 something. So he was very premature on this. But he says, I'm about to die and I can't see anymore. And he says, he said to his son Esau, go get me venison and make me that meal that I love and come in and let me eat it. And then my soul is going to bless you. And Rebekah was in the house when Isaac told his son Esau that. And she always favored Jacob. And she knew what God had spoken to her, that the elder was going to serve the younger. So Rebekah went and got Jacob and told him what Isaac had told Esau and says, hurry, go get me two lamb out of the flock and I'll kill them and I'll make this food that your father likes. And you go in and you pretend to be Esau and you steal his blessing from him. And Jacob says, well, what happens if he recognizes that it's not me? He was blind. He couldn't see him. But, you know, he says, what if he tells by my voice or something that I'm not Esau? And she says, look, I'm going to put the skin of the kids upon your hands and upon your arms and on the back of your neck so that if he feels you, you'll feel like your brother Esau. That was one hairy guy to have a fleece feel like him. And she also said, I'll give you his clothes so that you'll smell like him. Apparently, he was quite the fashion statement. Amen. And so anyway, they did this. And finally, Rebekah told him, says, look, if he finds out, your curse will come upon me. I'll accept your curse for you. But that's how much she wanted him to get the blessing. And so Jacob did all of this and he went in and lied to his father and deceived him. His father felt him and he says, well, the voice is Jacob's, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And so he blessed him in the 27th chapter of the book of Genesis. Here's my point. How many of you would have fought with your siblings when you left home to get your father's blessing? See, we don't think that way. There are many of you that when it was time to go, maybe your parents didn't agree and you said, who cares what you think? You're gone. You didn't think about getting a blessing. We don't think this way. It's not a big deal in our Western culture, but in the Bible, which we ought to conform our culture to the Bible, not the other way around. In the Bible, the blessing of the parent was super, super, super important. Even God the Father spoke a blessing over His Son when He came and got baptized. And He says, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus hadn't done a single miracle. The Father spoke a blessing over Him. You may not have been taught this, but I tell you, blessings are powerful, and especially coming from God. But these two boys were willing to fight, and when Esau found out that Jacob had stolen his blessing, he wanted to kill him. I mean, it was a contentious thing. The reason I bring this out is to show you that a blessing is powerful. We may not think that way, but that's because our thinking is wrong. We need to conform ourselves to the Word. The Word says death and life are in the power of your words. And when Esau finally came in and said, "Father, here's the food. Rise up and eat it so that you can bless me," Isaac said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm Esau, your firstborn." And he says, "Jacob came and stole away your blessing." And then Esau began to cry. It said he lifted up his voice and wailed and says, "Don't you have a blessing for me?" And he said, "I have already blessed your brother and I can't change it." He is blessed. He will be blessed. And then in the next chapter, the 28th chapter, is where Jacob had this experience, and he had a dream with a ladder going up to heaven, and God was at the top of the ladder, and God spoke to him and placed the blessing of Abraham on him. He didn't have to lie and steal and cheat to get it. He got it in the next chapter in a vision between him and God. But the reason I bring all this out is to show how much they believed in the power of a blessing. I tell you, brothers and sisters, we need to change the way we think, because most of us don't see it this way. But if you understood this and you started taking this as this is a list of all of the blessings that God has spoken over us. Deuteronomy 28 is 14 verses of blessings that you're blessed coming in, you're blessed going out. You're above only, you're not beneath. You're the head and you're not the tail. Psalms chapter 91 is all of the blessings that will come over us. And there's just blessing after blessing written all through here. We need to start understanding this and saying, "Father, you said this. You bless me." And start putting importance in words. You know, when the Lord was first showing me this, it's been 20-something years ago, there was a man in our church. His name was Ralph. And he was a greeter at our church. And he was kind of a short guy. He was about 70 years old, but he was just a happy guy. He loved everybody, and every person that came in, he would hug them. One time we had a bunch of Hell's Angels come to our church. There was about 15 or 20 of them. And there was this big old guy, must have weighed 300 pounds. Ralph couldn't have been over 120 or 30. And he walks up and sees this huge biker with nothing but a vest on, tattoos all over, and no shirt underneath his vest. And he looked up at this guy and he says, "Well, everybody's got to go sometime." And he just reached up and hugged him. Told this guy, "Glad you're here." He went down front, came forward, and got born again in the service. Turned out he was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list for murder or something. Ralph nearly passed out when he found out. But anyway, Ralph was just this guy. He was a great guy. And he was gone from church 3 weeks in a row, and I found out he had been sick. And then the next week I came back, he wasn't there. And finally the third week he wasn't there. And I just felt impressed to go over and minister to him. Turned out he had had pneumonia. He had been in the hospital, and they had let him out of the hospital, but he still had all of this phlegm that was in his chest. And he could barely breathe. He could hardly stand up and walk from the table to the bathroom or something, because he just didn't have any lung capacity. He was full of all of this stuff. And so anyway, I went over to talk to him, and he says, "Man, I just don't understand it. I know it's God's will for me to be healed. I've prayed. I've gotten better," but he says, "it just is hanging on." And this was when the Lord was showing me the power of a blessing. And death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I said, "Ralph, I'm going to pray over you." And what I did was cup my hands like this, and I put my mouth down to his chest. And I started talking to his chest based on Mark chapter 11, verse 23, "Say to your mountain, be removed." Don't talk to God about your mountain, but talk to your mountain about God. Instead of asking God to do it as if you have no authority and power, take your power and recognize. Man, I wish I had the words to make this clear to you, but there is death and life in the power of your tongue. Your tongue is a powerful weapon if it's mixed with faith. The problem is we speak so many foolish, idle words, we don't even believe our words. But if you could understand this and retrain yourself, there is life in your words. Raising from the dead power in your words. And so I cut my hands over his chest and I spoke and I said, lungs, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be healed. I command all of this phlegm that's in his lungs to loosen and to come out of there now. And I blessed him and I cursed the pneumonia and said, you're dead. Cursed it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I cursed the sickness, spoke life over him. And did you know while I was praying, he had to push me away because he started coughing and he went and got a towel. And I mean, in 10 minutes, he coughed up all of this junk out of his lungs and he was normal in 10 minutes time. He had been dealing with that for 3 weeks. But there's power in your words if you believe it. The problem is we've confused our own heart. You stand there and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. And your heart thinks, is he kidding about this one the way he is about everything else? Is this like I'm going to be there at 7 o'clock and that means 7:30? What makes these words different than any other words? But you can get to a place where you believe the words you say. You don't say anything. You know, If you want a compliment from me, you probably shouldn't come fishing for one. I've had women come up before and say, do you think this dress makes me look fat? They just shouldn't ask me things like that. I am at least kind enough to say, you know, that's really not my expertise. You don't want my opinion.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to receive God's best. This 5-part teaching series was recorded at our 2011 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1072 for CD or R3215D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-164 titled, The Blessing of God, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
This is Andrew Womack, and I'd like to invite you to join me as a partner of our Gospel Truth ministry. You know, we are reaching the world not only through radio, but also television, DVDs, books, CDs, just every way that we possibly can. We have Bible schools scattered around the world. We are preaching the gospel literally around the world. Over 2.2 billion people can get our broadcast and our materials, and it just takes a lot of money to make all of that happen. So I'd like to invite you to join with me on a monthly basis as our partner. Our announcer is going to give you some information, and I encourage you to pray about it and then call or write today and become a partner with the Gospel Truth.